Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show. Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio. It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink, and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out. And then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No!
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on, man, on a Monday here at Paradise? It is Dukes and Bell with a Brian McFadden in for Carl, who continues to enjoy his beach time. And yes, BMAC is a Florida State Seminole and a Pittsburgh Steeler, and you're a Cardinal, too. For guys that are new to the show and you haven't heard Brian doing a great job filling in over the last couple, kind of become our new sixth man.
No question. Quality sixth man. Just call me Mono.
Yeah, so, like, you know, like the microwave, Vinny Johnson, heating up, coming off the bench. So, man, we got lots to talk about. We were just watching the Women's World Cup. And I know for guys that aren't soccer heads, at the very least, Brian, you wrap it up in the red, white, and blue. People do get interested, you know, when you see our women. But, yeah, man, 2-1. We're going to talk to Jason Longshore a little bit later today. He'll join us, talk a little United as we finally get back to action, but also get his take on what was a real controversial Women's World Cup. The Cameroonians and the English were getting into it. And we'll also have him explain what was going on in the Gold Cup, Mexico, and all that. Have you been into soccer at all, man? Have you
a little bit. Yeah. A little bit.
I know that some folks, it's like for me, I was not a soccer guy my whole adult life, and I used to crap on it. Oh, man, soccer's so boring. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I saw it over in Europe, and I got to experience like the really good stuff. And I'm like, okay. And it's like you're drinking $3 Chuck, and you finally get a good bottle of wine, mm-hmm. You know, and you start to appreciate the good stuff. So I think now with United, more and more people are into it, but it's more one of those things you definitely have to experience firsthand. Sometimes the TV doesn't translate.
Exactly. It's entertaining, especially when you're there in person. And, of course, when you know the game better, mm-hmm. you have a better understanding of what you're watching. You enjoy it better.
And Jason's been doing a good job helping everybody know a little bit more about soccer. So he is kind of like our shell answer man. He'll join us coming up later today. All right, man, is it too early, Brian, to say the Braves have won the East? Because it's not even like 4th of July weekend. We were joking around. Mike Conte said, you know, I'm getting the feeling on Twitter that it looks like the Braves are kind of running away with this. And it kind of does.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to jinx it, but, man, they're kicking butt.
I mean, looking good right now. I mean, started real slow. You know, so many people were concerned about which direction the team was going. And right now, they're just clicking at the right time. And while they're clicking, the other teams in the NL East, they're going through some issues. Some issues.
The Mets have already gone to full meltdown mode. We'll talk more about that. They're attacking media. I want to pick your brain as a guy that played, you know, as a professional. You know, when sometimes do you feel like hanging a guy in the media on a hook in the locker room?
Man, you know what? When you're losing, right, you feel that way a lot.
Right.
And that's the situation with the Mets right now.
Oof. And as a guy who grew up a Mets fan, I can tell you this was to be expected, and now it's kind of blown up. Meanwhile, you saw the Nationals over the weekend. Nationals, I mean, it was a good game. We talked about Dallas Keuchel, and we'll get more into that. Keuchel made his debut. I thought the ball was up in the strike zone. I mean, we all saw it. A lot of hits, a lot of good contact by a good hitting team in D.C. So hopefully Keuchel learns what he was doing wrong. They'll get on the videotape, and they'll figure it out. But, yeah, he was not that crisp. We talked to John Smoltz last week, and he said you can expect some of that, mm-hmm. but he also thought he might be able to give you 6 innings, and he barely did. But the Braves, the good news is, take 2 out of 3. They're just running away. Philly is floundering. They've lost 7 in a row. They're calling for Gabe Kapler to get fired up in Philadelphia because that's what they do.
Yeah, no question. And like I said, you know, if you're a Braves fan, you got to enjoy watching what is happening outside of your household. Everything in the neighborhood with the other teams, the Marlins, they're bad.
Right.
The Mets going in the wrong direction. Right. The Phillies, who many felt like was the odds, the favorite to win the division, they're having issues. And the Nationals, I mean, right, it's a great time to be a Braves fan.
I'm telling you, it's a great time to be an Atlanta sports fan.
And if you
you didn't hear like Cam Reddish, we're going to play that right squid later in the show so guys can hear, because I haven't heard it yet either, so I want to check it out. So Cam Reddish, our newest hawk. The reason, guys, you haven't get to hear from DeAndre Hunter is because of all these convoluted rules, Brian, in the NBA. We were talking about this on Friday, Chuckery and me. Problem we have in the NBA is they do the draft before free agency. Mm-hmm. And in addition to all that, you've got all these rules and language in place where nothing worse than a guy putting on a Laker hat who's got a pick from the Pelicans who's going to be a Hawk.
Yeah.
It didn't look right. You know, want to see the guy put on the shirt he's going to wear.
I wish the NBA would change the dynamics of the draft. If there's a team that has made a trade before draft night, go ahead and just put that team in the place.
Right.
Right? I mean, we knew the Lakers traded away the fourth overall selection. Just put the Pelicans logo right there next to the number four. Make it easy. A lot of people are still confused. Like, wait a minute, I thought the Lakers moved. Of course, that's how the NBA handles the draft recognition as far as the teams and the slots.
Now, it was cool to see everyone know because of all the information that leaked out on Friday, but mostly from guys like Wojo on ESPN, that the Hawks were going to go, move up to four, get DeAndre Hunter, and then we were going to go have a shot at Cam Reddish. And then when the Wizards take the dude from Gonzaga, that was like everyone at
Achimura.
Everybody at State Farm went bananas because now you knew we're going to get Cam Reddish. And you and I were just talking, you know, why is there so much buzz? I just think for the casual fan or for the guy who really does, you know, love the Hawks, he knows the Duke brand. Mm-hmm. You know, the Duke brand like Kentucky, those guys are always going to get a little extra juice.
Oh, no question. The thing about Cam, also outside of the hype that he is receiving, and even though he was the third best player on his team, no knock there because you had Barrett in the number one player in Zion, he can shoot. When he masters that skill, because he has a great shot right now, his follow-through is right on point, but when he masters that skill, he has the ability to be a Klay Thompson-ish for the Hawks.
And that was the story we kept rolling with all last month. You know, hey, why don't we go get a Klay Thompson type in free agency? Well, obviously with Klay Thompson with the knee injury, he's going to be in all likelihood staying in Golden State, as will Durant, although there's some crazy stories that are still floating around out there about where they're going to go. But you're right, getting back to the whole convoluted setup. Yeah, we can't even talk to the guy yet because he's officially not a Hawk until, I believe, July 6th.
Yep.
Because it all goes back to Anthony Davis has got to pass his physical. Mm-hmm. And then all that entails, otherwise, that deal would be null and void. So, I mean, I understand why you got to dot the I's and cross the T's. But we want to, you know, get all the new Hawks in here right now. Should be already getting people fired up. I did talk to a friend of mine who works for the Hawks. Guess what's going on right now?
What's that?
Phones are buzzing. People are ordering tickets. So if you and we talked about this with Steve Koonin, the CEO, the other day, I really think there's going to be a legitimate buzz because this is a young – you got Trae Young, you got a young nucleus coming together. If these guys pan out, it's going to be exciting.
Oh, no question. And also, too, we don't know exactly what the Hawks will do via free agency.
Right.
Right. So outside of that, the draft was a hit. You stayed put. Cam Reddish falls into your lap. I mean, many people thought if the Hawks were going to trade up, they were trading up to go get Cam.
Right.
But you go get a guy who I love in DeAndre Hunter, not to mention he's one of the best defensive players that was available. You go get him, and now you go get a potential scorer in Cam Reddish, who's extremely athletic. I mean, you have really improved at the wing element of your team.
Right. And the thing about DeAndre Hunter, you know, we always focus on the defensive side. This guy was scoring points, including some big baskets in the national championship game. You could argue that he was one of the big reasons why they got it done. So despite all, I mean, yes, he's a fantastic defender, can defend big guys, can defend, you know, point guards and smaller players, but he can also shoot the ball. So we got that going for us.
Yeah. He reminds me a lot. Well, I don't want to get people excited, but when you look at how Kawhi Leonard was when he entered into the league,
right?
One thing about Kawhi, he was always known to be a quality defender, and then he improved his offensive game. Watching DeAndre Hunter at UVA, watch how he was able to master his offensive skill, take you off the dribble, and improve on his jump shot. And then defensively, man, he was a terror.
Right.
I mean, he's a plug-and-play player right now.
Because that's the thing. Now, if you're playing for Tony Bennett at UVA, you got to play defense. That's their calling card. And as I said on Friday, if you're only scoring about 50 or 55 points, and he's going for 15,
that's like 30.
Right. That's you extrapolate it. And that's not what math is never my strong suit, but that's one of the things this guy can do. So we're set, man. And then you throw in who's it? Bruno. Who's the guy we picked up? Squid. Bruno. And first off, I love the name. Bruno Fernando just sounds like a guy that can handle himself in the paint. Sounds like a good – Bruno Fernando could be a light heavyweight or maybe a heavyweight back in the old days, you know. And here we are at the Garden with Bruno Fernando taking on Joe Lewis. It's a good name. So you got a dude whose rep is he's physical, but more than anything else. One thing I hate when you read some of these, like, you know, these scouting reports or you see the same stuff. Well, he's got to find his motivation. You know, he's a slow starter. Well, this guy's already an energy guy. They say he's already fired up and he gives max effort. That's what you want to hear.
Oh, no question. He's a big guy. I mean, one thing about the NBA, especially in today's era, if you can find big men that move well, that play with that edge, with the energy, they can be a big-time hit for you. Now, the question is, where will he fit? I mean, because from top to bottom, I really like where the Hawks are as far as personnel. And, you know, you still have some money to play with. Right. So if you want to go out and roll the dice here or there, you still can do so. But collectively, they have so many young, exciting players.
Right.
I mean, right. It's just like a bunch of young guys that understand, well, based on what we've seen over the last few drafts. I mean, they've all hit. And then being able to continue to add to the young pieces. I mean, outside of the Lakers, at one point, I felt had the best young core of guys. Now, they traded some of those pieces away, so you can transition and say the Pelicans probably one of the best young core-type teams along with the Chicago Bulls. But I would put the Hawks maybe top three.
Well, you look at the youngsters. Because Trey is up there in the MVP battle, I mean, the Rookie of the Year battle, and certainly Luka does have his supporters. And Luka had an amazing full season. Trey, as a young guy, came in. Second half, there was nobody better than Trey Young.
I agree.
But he's going to get better. You got John Collins, who, again, everybody loves his game. Great attitude. That's another thing. Good, you know, solid between the ears.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got role players like Alex Len, who does the dirty work.
And Herter.
Herter, who, by the way, played with the dude we just picked up, Fernando.
Yeah, from Maryland.
You got a lot of cool things happening because you and I were talking before the show. Even in the 60-win season, there was a feeling of a ceiling, you know, that you couldn't get past LeBron. And, you know, the thing was, even though you had great guys like, and some of it's parts with Korver, and you had, you know, Damari Carroll. Who's the dude taking the shot? You know, who's, and when they had this interview on ESPN that that year of the Eastern Conference Finals, well, whoever's got the hot hand, that's not the answer. I need a guy to take the shot.
And we know who will take the shot now.
Right.
Trey.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Ice Trey. We know he is the guy in charge when it comes to needing a basket at the end of the ball game or a clutch-like basket. We know that. So that's the thing I like about this team. Everybody understands their role and they embrace it. They're okay with it.
This is a team that, you know, get to work. We got to, so there's a chance that some of these guys, you know, will get plugged in. I mean, how they're going to, you know, work with the minutes, I'm not sure. As you said, DeAndre Hunter, I know that Coach Pierce is going to love the defensive profile because he wants to play more defense. We're giving up a ton of baskets last year. So there's some chances for these guys to grow quickly together. And whether we do the free agency thing, to your point, this year, the big-name free agents you wanted were really in this class. Next year,
it's watered down.
Yeah, it's just not the names you want to see, but unfortunately, we're not there yet. And the other thing we've talked so much about the last couple of weeks, the super team phenomenon. Guys don't want to play. They want to play with guys they know, and they've also got to play with the team they feel is going in the right direction. But first things first, you got to become sexy.
Yeah, you got to become sexy, and they're starting to become sexy right now. It's almost like having that neighborhood girl who you grew up with. She didn't look good, but as she got older, you know what? She's starting to really grow on me. And now you actually like her.
That could be by the way, that could be a game winner for tonight. Write that down, Squid. I mean, unless you feel with the Me Too movement, that could be considered sexist. No, we're just saying as you realize, hey,
my
next door neighbor's hot.
Yeah, when did this happen? I mean, that's the Hawks. Like, they're hot right now because of the young, talented pieces that we talked about.
Right. I like that vibe. Make sure we write that down for later. Down. Got a couple of ideas for you.
Mental note.
Brian McFadden is at BMAC. We got plenty to talk about in the headlines. Jason Longshore is going to explain what the heck's going on in the world of soccer. And also, guys, the Braves. We're going to get into that heavy today because it's a really good thing, but you're still missing a piece. They look great. They look like the tops in the East. But when you get down to brass tacks, as Brian kind of laid out, the East is no great shakes. It's all on the way. Dukes and Bell right here on 92.9 The Game. It is 92.9 The Game, Dukes and Bell with Brian McFadden, longtime NFL vet. Proud Seminole. He's with us today, chilling. Got me and Brian together for much of the week as Carl is kicking it on the beach. Hope you had a good weekend. You had the kids this weekend?
No question.
Just chilling?
Oh, man. Kids got a lot of injuries. They got a lot of injuries. Man.
So how old?
Six.
Oh. Yeah, I don't have kids. People like me shouldn't have kids, and we don't. It's probably better for everybody. We had a big pool party over the weekend.
How was it?
Well, my condo, every year they throw a big pool party. Will Guerra, our traffic man, showed up, made an appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody getting wild. I always put fun photos up on social media.
Yeah.
And every now and again, someone will tell me in the business, you know, you really shouldn't put those pictures up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what? Like, I'm going to run for Congress? Like, I'm going to get the call from ESPN to be at the Sports Center anchor? I mean, this is kind of my lot in life. Don't get me wrong. I'm really happy.
Yeah.
My old man said, don't mess with happy. You know, here I am. I work at a top 10 market. Got a great show with my buddy. Got our own beer.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have a few too many, as I did on Saturday night, and I want to post a picture of me with three cigars in my mouth, I do that.
Yeah. And no love lost.
Right. And then, you know,
enjoy it yourself.
I'm having fun. I'm just being whimsical, right? And then, you see that picture Mike put? What? I mean, come on. I'm having fun.
They should know their personnel by now anyway.
Thank you. Exactly, you know Brian McFadden.
Know your personnel.
Know your role, Joe.
Yeah,
stay in your lane. And my lane is shenanigans.
Yeah.
Just a word to the wise. I put this up on Twitter. I got a friend of mine who's from Bosnia, the former Yugoslavia.
Mm-hmm.
If someone offers you Bosnian brandy, it's kind of like their own moonshine grappa. Don't drink it.
Yeah.
Because I was one hot mess on Saturday night. Ergo, the picture of me with three cigars.
So that's what you had?
Yes. Yeah, we were drinking like a lot of Hey Man. And then my buddy had a flask of this Bosnian stuff. And
you tried it.
And I had some friends, you know, back in the day in Eastern Europe, so I know this stuff. I know like the shot of all nations, you know? Like in Hungary, it's called Unicom.
Yeah.
Remember the movie Beetlejuice?
Mm-hmm.
So in Hungary, they ferment Beetlejuice. And it's like a black liqueur, and it starts like Jägermeister, and it finishes like Ouzo. Yeah, it's terrible. And in the Balkans, they drink what's called Rijka. And that's what I was drinking on Saturday. Because you know me, I just can't stay with American stuff. I got
to
explore.
You wanted to get to another level.
Right. Well, guess what?
You got there?
Level achieved. So you see some of the photos. That's what was going on right there. The Braves had an amazing cover behind win on Saturday, so let's have a victory cigar.
And you celebrated.
Right. Or two or three. Yesterday, we were watching some of the Braves. Soroka got hit. We're going to hear from him in the headlines here.
Yep.
And, Brian, you have some serious duty while you fill in for Carl. Normally, Carl has a vocal range much higher.
Mm-hmm.
I've been dealing with some vocal issues. Don't worry, guys. It's okay. I'm going to go see the doctor at Emory tomorrow. Just got to be cool.
Yeah.
But you have to hit a high range by saying, let's hit some headlines. Here's what it's supposed to sound like.
Let's hit some headlines.
Oh, man.
You think you could do that? You could do that for us?
Hey, you know what? I'm a team player.
Right on.
I do not mind embarrassing myself.
All right.
Now, let's hit some headlines.
Boom.
Strap in, youngins.
That's what I like to see.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
showed me and the audience a lot right there. I want to make the statement right there at 225. McFadden is in for a penny. He's in for a pound of shenanigans.
No question. Let's rock and roll.
Right on. Let's start off with the Bravos. Starting with Brian. So let's go with Camargo. This is how it sounded when he won the game. Actually, they had to play the bottom of the 10th, but this was good.
And a high fly ball that's well hit deep right field. To the track goes Eaton. To the scoreboard. It is gone. Pinch hit home run for Camargo.
Chip Carey with the call on Fox Sports Southeast. Camargo is just a clutch dude.
Yes,
money
sir.
Guy. You can plug him in any situation. That's why Braves fans love him. That's why Snicker can trust him in a moment like that.
No question. That's why this team is so deadly. So many different players can step up at any given time.
Here's a Snicker on Camargo embracing his role because he can't crack the starting lineup because 1 through 8 is so good.
Number one, the kid's had a great attitude. I mean, he understands his role, and he's done a great job. He gives you a lot of versatility. I love having him on the bench because it allows you to do other things knowing he's there. You know what I'm saying? He's had some really big pinch hits all through the course of the year. So it's a tough role for a young guy, and he's embraced it and done a great job, helped the club.
So they get the win. They take 2 out of 3 from the Nationals. And the thing, Brian, is when a team, and when they went up to D.C., the Nationals run a nice little win streak. They'd won a bunch of games. It's kind of cool to just stop that right in its tracks and don't give them any hope.
And most importantly, is with the divisional series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're taking care of your business against the Nationals and before that, the Phillies. And then, of course, the Mets. I mean, you got to like what they're doing in the division.
Right. Phillies, by the way, as we said, have lost 7 in a row.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, over the weekend, Soroka gets hit by a pitch. The good news is he's from Canada. He's tough.
He's tough.
Yeah, here he is on getting hit with a comebacker.
I mean, I knew I got it right in the flexors, and as soon as those tighten up, I mean, there's pretty much no chance of going out there throwing a baseball today. But good news is inflammation is going to get out of there and hopefully be online for next start.
Which is also good news. He's a young guy. All our stars, man. Freed, Soroka.
Young.
Problem is, yeah, they got to be on a pitch count. I'm not saying we want to see a guy get a bruise on his arm, but this will, be, again, if they can cover him not starting or whatever it's going to do. And they did a nice job, by the way. If you didn't see the game, Josh Tomlin threw 4 innings in relief.
Yep.
I don't know if they trust Tukey in that role right now, but Tomlin did a really nice job. And the Braves, as we just told you, got clutch at the end with Johan Camargo. Now, Dallas Keuchel, he made his debut, guys, on Friday. John Smoltz joined us on the show earlier in the week. He said that he thought he could go 6 innings. Said, you know, there might be some adjustments to be made. Here's Keuchel on what he'd like to change.
A few of the pitchers I'd like to have back are some of the first pitchers of the at-bats, or first guys of the inning. That's something I can really indulge on here these next 4 days and try to get better, crisper with that. But other than that, I mean, just to continue to fill up the strike zone, I was attacking guys. But also I got to read some swings and get better with that aspect, so. Hopefully the next time out, we'll come out on the right side.
He was looking like an American League pitcher. Wouldn't he, guys? A lot of high stuff. And unfortunately, this stuff was way up in the strike zone, and they were teeing off on it. Look, the Nationals still have some guys who can rake. Soto just missed out on Rookie of the Year behind Acuna.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Keuchel has got his head right. He's a veteran. He's 31.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. By the way, he's wearing 60 for those who want to go out and get the jersey.
I don't like 60.
What's wrong with that?
It just
doesn't look right?
It's just ugly.
It's a good number for a home run if you're Babe Ruth in a season.
No question.
But I have to admit, I did kind of go, Bo Morgan, our producer, did he wear 60 in Houston? We'll find out what the connection is there. I should know this, but I don't. Let's hear one more from Dallas Keuchel. This is about overall feeling good, because remember, he did a couple of rehab starts in Rome, and then he got down to business.
And honestly, I felt better than I was expecting to, and mentally just trying to lock it in was going to be the biggest thing for me. But pitch in, pitch out, I felt like I was in midseason form now. I'd like to have a few pitches back here and there, but other than that, it was really nice to get back at it and, you know, go at it with McCann, who makes me feel as comfortable as anybody I've been around.
Yeah, man, the familiarity there, because Brian was his catcher with the Astros when they won the World Series, and Brian obviously is still doing a great job. So, hey, the guy, he's gonna learn from it. He's a pro, and you can hear he's not like he's ruffled or anything. Matter of fact, let's hope that Folty learned some of the cool factor from this guy. When you were coming up in football, I know it's a different discipline, but older guys help you out? Because you were pretty clutch from the jump. You got into some big moments in the Steelers in your first year.
Oh, yeah, but the older guys definitely, from the standpoint of just being able to talk to me mentally, get me prepared for things that I was getting ready to see, it was a big-time plus to have.
Right.
Because now you know how to process the game. You know, college, I was so used to dominating any given Saturday.
Right.
You get to the next level, it's like it's not that easy. So now mentally trying to adjust, and veterans, that's what they're there for.
And there's certainly some guys on the staff, Brian McCann helping the younger guys. But as far as a pitcher-to-pitcher, maybe Keuchel can help Folty. We'll talk more about Foltynewicz later, because there's still, and I saw Dave O'Brien wrote about it, and I thought he was accurate, saying, you know, he's kind of flaky. He's got to get his head right. You know, just when you think he's coming out of the woods, it's like the slightest thing can kind of get him out of his comfort zone.
And for a pitcher?
No, you got to be mentally tough, man. So the Braves, good news, though, as we said, take 2 out of 3, and they are rolling. Also, we're hoping we're going to roll into a playoff appearance. I don't know if we could win 12 more games. That would get us from where we were this year to the 8th seed in the NBA East. Here, let's start with Travis Schlenk. They had a press conference today down at State Farm. Travis, on why they went with the Duke guy, Cam Reddish.
It's pretty obvious what attracted us to him, I think, right? When we talk about, or what I've talked about in the past, are guys that are multidimensional, multi-positional. Cam's ability to handle the ball, Cam's ability to create for other players and shoot the basketball on the offensive end. But also, I don't think that he got the credit he deserves defensively this year. You know, Cam's a very good defensive player, great anticipation, he uses length. So just all-around basketball skill.
You like the guy.
I like him. Yeah, I like Duke basketball. I'm a Duke basketball fan. And watching him, I felt like potential. He had a higher ceiling than R.J. Barrett.
Really?
Yes.
Because some guys feel R.J. can be the guy that might actually have a higher ceiling than Zion. My only beef about Cam, and it's not a beef because, as we said, you've only got 30-some-odd games, and that's your audition for the NBA because you're never going to wait and go back another year. So this kid, when Zion went out, how much stuff was drawn for him? Why didn't he score more consistently?
It's about the effort.
Right.
That's the biggest question mark I have, the effort, the energy. Sometimes he plays with that fire and desire you love to see from your players, and then sometimes it was just gone.
The other thing is, remember, outside of the top five, actually outside the top three, there was really only one guy, and that's the guy we picked up in DeAndre Hunter, that was considered a low-risk, sure bet.
No question.
And then Cam Reddish is a guy that, depending on how the other teams drafted between when we got our second chance at 10, you know, we lucked out. Because here's a guy that certainly, I know the fans love him. Fans know the Duke brand. Place was going bananas. And if I had told folks, and you know what, Brian, there was a real disappointment when we got the draft lottery and the ping pong balls did what they did. We had better odds of being the number one seed than the 8th seed. So that took a little bit of wind out of your sails as a fan. You're like, oh, here we go. We can't get anything right. That's a hell of a draft.
Great draft. I said before the draft, outside of the Pelicans, even when they made the trade with the Lakers, the second best team as far as positions was the Hawks.
Right.
And everything worked in their favor.
And it did. And let's hear from the man himself. Here's Cam Reddish. By the way, you're going to hear the whole interview that Andy and Randy did with Cam earlier today. I want you to hear that. But first, here he is talking about hearing good things about the A.
I mean, it's been crazy. I mean, it's truly a blessing, a dream come true. I mean, the city of Atlanta is so beautiful. And I mean, I feel like it's a perfect fit in a way. It's a young core, super talented. And, you know, I feel like I just want to learn my teammates. And once that happens, I feel like we'll be in a good spot.
Again, he'll be wearing number 22. Is that what I heard, Squid? 22 he's going to wear?
22.
Yeah, because 60, by the way, is Keuchel. We did find that one out. So you can, and he wore 60 in Houston. So we did our research on that.
I don't like 60.
Yeah, it's a big number.
It just don't look good.
Well, you're a DB, so you're always going to be in the 20s or the 30s. Hey, it's Brian McFadden in today for Carl. And, oh, by the way, U.S. soccer, we are going to talk to Jason Longshore. U.S. wins today. If you were DVRing it, I don't want to spoil it.
Too late.
Too late.
Yes.
But it was 2-1, and it was Megan Rapinoe with two PKs. Spain and America going back and forth. I think we had like 54% of possession. We had more shots on goal. But, again, the VAR, the ref, it's becoming too much of a story in soccer internationally. We'll talk to Jason about that, including our old buddy Tata. It's a win for El Tre over Martinique.
Like
can you
that.
Roll your R's, man?
I can't.
I will work on that. It is. I like the high note, though.
Be back. I can give you a high note.
I dig that. Be back is here. Jason Longshore next.
Martinez scores!
It's time for our Monday Atlanta United recap with 92.9 The Game soccer analyst Jason Longshore on Dukes and Bell.
He is the man who's basically become our go-to guy for soccer here with United International Soccer, all things soccer, Brian McFadden, and for Carl Dukes today. Jason Longshore joins us here on the waitfor.com hotline to talk to us about what's going on. Punch him up for me, Craig, because my pooter is acting kind of funky. Hey, Jason, what's going on today, man?
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Jason?
Hey, man, we did let the cat out of the bag for those that had DVR'd the U.S. Women's team, but real quick, what do you think of the match?
Spain's really good, first off, and I think a lot of the talk coming in was it's a foregone conclusion the U.S. is going to get to that quarterfinal against France and the difficulty that that presents. But the Spanish team is very, very strong. The U.S. has got to produce more from the run of play. I mean, two penalties here. It was a very, very even game. Spain looked like they could have found another goal in it. The U.S. does enough to get through, but I think it's a bit of a wake-up call.
Speaking of that, very, very talented game. I mean, competitive game, talking about Spain, how talented they are. Is the U.S., is this team the best in the world?
I don't think it's an easy thing to say at this stage. I think in the last couple of cycles, yes, you would have said that they're the most talented. This time around, France is right there with them. Germany's right there with them. England's right there with them. And then there's a next tier of teams like Spain and the Netherlands and Sweden and Canada that I think can beat any of the top-tier teams on a given day. It's the most wide open the Women's World Cup has ever been, and a lot of that is down to so many of these countries investing in development. The Spanish team, you look at them as individual players, outstanding technical ability. It's all down to that investment from the Spanish Federation and the pro clubs.
So the women do get the win, 2-1. This is all knockout round stuff, by the way, guys, in a round of 16. Jason Longshore with us at Long Shoe. Now, I had really going back and forth, not much going on TV yesterday, so I watched a lot of the England-Cameroon match. It walked me through this. I mean, were the Cameroonians, were they being rude? Were they out of their minds? Or were they right to be so upset? Because VAR certainly seemed to really hose them over.
I didn't think it did. I don't think there was a thing that that VAR was wrong on in that game, was it? Close calls? Yeah, it was. The offside goal to start the second half, it was a foot. But offside is not a, well, it's close, so let it go. Not in the world of video assistant referees. You're on or you're off, and it was off. And the England goal that was looked at, the AR who put the flag up, was wrong. She was onside. So you take all that. My issue with that game and the way it got out of hand at the end was now you have a situation because of the foul and stoppage time where you have England's captain who might not be available for their quarterfinal match because of a horrendous tackle in stoppage time, right in front of the Cameroon manager who just stepped over the England player like she was barely there. That was the most disappointing part for me. All of the histrionics, I think a lot of it has been overblown.
Okay.
It's a tough situation for a team like Cameroon who has eight players playing in a top-flight professional league, and a lot of players basically play semi-pro or amateur, and they haven't been in these situations very, very often.
And that's the thing, if you didn't see it, guys, and if you're not a big soccer fan, in a nutshell, Brian, the players for Cameroon really lost their cool. There was some really, really salty play. One girl spit on an English player's arm.
Disrespectful.
Yeah, it just seemed like, and then they basically stalled twice, Jason, because they didn't like the calls that went against him. And again, VAR is still something relatively new in international soccer. We're all getting our heads around, but it seems like the stall tactic. It just seemed like it was a classless. It just to me from, and I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, but it really seemed classless.
Think back to the beginning of VAR in Major League Soccer, where you had a lot of bad reactions to VAR's involvement. Whether it was right or wrong, it was just a shock to the system because you'd never dealt with that before. Now you don't see that reaction when VAR gets involved. On the women's side, video assistant referees weren't approved for this tournament until mid-March. So the preparation has been really bad, and there is no professional women's league in the world that has video assistant referees. So no one's accustomed to their involvement, so there's a lot of overreaction to it right now.
So real quick, I want to get to United because I know Brian's got some questions about our team. But real quick, the Tata-led Mexico, that was a game against Martinique that was actually, first off, more entertaining than anyone would have expected. And maybe for Mexican fans, for all the wrong reasons, 3-2.
Yeah, a little dicey for Mexico. I mean, they had the group sealed up. They knew they were going through. Maybe they took their foot off the gas a little bit here. I thought the most interesting thing was Tata Martino getting the first yellow card for a coach now that that's approved. It's something we've seen in the high school game here in the U.S., but showing cards to coaches has never been a thing before. And, of course, it's Tata screaming at the referee who gets the first yellow card.
You like what you're seeing from the U.S. men's team?
Better. It's better. The Trinidad game was much, much better than the first game of the tournament. They have to continue to build from here, but they are starting to look far more comfortable than they did in the friendlies before the tournament and in that Guyana match.
Let's transition to the United. It's been a while since we've seen them on the grass. Will they keep the momentum next time up?
I think you look back to that Columbus match in the U.S. Open Cup where you had a lot of the lineup that should be on the field against Toronto. And we found out today that Ezequiel Barco will not be part of that match due to a couple of kicks he received to the knee in that Columbus match. That was Frank DeBoer mentioning that to the media today. And Doug Robertson over at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution had some more detail on it. One of those kicks was the one that Leandro Gonzalez-Pirez was very upset about afterwards and picked up a yellow card for dissent.
Okay.
It's these types of fouls, though. And you see Atlanta United players, and it's often Leandro Gonzalez-Pirez who's complaining to referees after these types of fouls, to Barco, to Pitti, to Tito Villalba, because it's very similar to the injuries that he's been dealing with lately. When referees allow attacking creative players to constantly be kicked out of the game, you're going to get these injuries and the competition's going to suffer, and teams have to deal with it now. Atlanta has to deal with Barco's absence.
That stinks, man. I know we saw it last year with Miggy, and for those that are not familiar, our guys compared to Brian, some of the guys you see in MLS, sometimes a little undersized. Mm-hmm. They're not against LGP, but Barco's still a little guy. Pitti's a relatively short guy, and sometimes they just get manhandled out there.
Referees got to protect talented players. I mean, we saw this. Think back to the NBA in the late 80s. You know, this is what would happen. You'd go near the basket, and you're going to get just pummeled. And it took a while until the game started to be called differently. And some people want that kind of game. I like to see the talented players be able to showcase their talent.
Right.
But are we surprised, though, you know, if you're playing against a talented guy that's smaller than you, the best way to neutralize him is to be physical. I mean, that's what I would do.
100%. It is. And if the referee allows you to do that, yeah, 100% take advantage of it. You saw it today in the U.S.-Spain match. Spain committed a ton of fouls, and they weren't seeing yellow cards for persistent infringement. And that's what referees have to be strong on. If there's not an individual foul, if it's a bunch of fouls but not an individual foul that would deserve the card, but you're seeing these types of players, and it happens to Barco all the time, it happens to Pitti as well, you'll see them get fouled 5, 6, 7 times in a match.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. You have to start seeing yellow cards when that happens.
Yeah, I agree with that. You got to keep things in perspective and also not allow the opposing team just to try to bully the talented superstar players that we have. Jason, give us an early preview what we should expect to see Wednesday when United face off against Toronto.
Well, I think with Barco's absence now, a lot of pressure falls on Pitti Martinez and Julian Gressel, who should be available coming back from some muscle tightness. He's missed the two Open Cup matches. A lot of pressure also falls on Brandon Vasquez, who will be starting up top, according to Frank DeBoer. He's been the hero in the Open Cup matches, and can he do that in MLS play right now? You flip to the other side and you look at Toronto. They have not won since the match in Orlando before they came to Atlanta. And that feels like forever ago, back in May. They've struggled. They're missing a lot of players to the Gold Cup right now. Michael Bradley, Josie Altidore, Jonathan Osorio, Ashton Morgan are the big four that they don't have at the moment, and it's showing. I want to see how they come out and approach this. When they played Dallas over the weekend, they lost 3-0. They started with 5 in the back, and at halftime they went to 4 in the back, and the wheels came off. The defense looked really poor after that. I think they're going to have to sit back and try to defend. Even at home, I think they're going to have to get numbers behind the ball because they don't have much going forward at the moment.
It is Jason Longshore with us, guys, at Longshue on Twitter. If you've got more questions about the U.S. men's national team or United, anything to do with soccer, this is the guy's got the answers for you. Hey, by the way, the All-Star voting, we saw that all the Argentines are getting love. I presume there's some ballot box stuffing digitally. Joseph will be an All-Star, yes?
Yes, he was added to the team today. The rest of the full roster came out biggest surprise for me is Miles Robinson not being part of the team. Walker Zimmerman being part of the fan vote makes sense. Leandro Gonzalez-Pires part of the fan vote makes sense. Matt Hedges from Dallas and Bastian Schweinsteiger were chosen ahead of Miles Robinson, and that feels like a bit of a travesty. Miles has been as good of a center back in this league as you've seen in the first half of the season. He should be going to the All-Star game.
Thing is, though, Bastian's a German legend, and he's got a really cool name. That's a great name, Mr. Bryant. Bastian Schweinsteiger.
No,
hey, Jason, you talked about Vasquez doing a great job in some of these U.S. Open Cup matches. Again, a guy that we didn't really get a chance to see much of in the past. Joseph, when do we get Joseph back, by the way, from playing for Venezuela?
We'll have to wait and see now because Venezuela will have a knockout round game. So he's not going to be here on Wednesday. He's not going to be here on Saturday against Montreal. There's a chance he's back for the Chicago match on July 3rd. Most likely he will be back for that July 7th New York Red Bulls match unless Venezuela makes a miracle run to the Copa America final.
Okay, big guy. And real quick, Messi, for all the great things Lionel Messi's done, age 32 now, one of the greatest ever dressed out, why does he seem to have always to stub his toe when he's playing for Argentina?
He's by himself. He doesn't get any support. And we've talked about it a lot when it comes to the Argentine Federation. They have been a mess ever since. Man, I mean, go back decades at this point. He's just not getting much support around him. And now it feels like everybody in this team, no matter if they're stars with their club or not, they look to Messi to solve every problem on the field. Ooh. It's a ton of pressure. I think he has delivered. I thought he basically carried them to the World Cup final in 2014 and got them to back-to-back Copa America finals. He's not what he used to be, and the Argentine system just doesn't suit him as much as having so many talented players around him at Barcelona who can pick up the slack.
It is Jason Longshore with us, guys. He's brought to you by Heineken 0.0. Guys, it's great taste with zero alcohol. Try Heineken 0.0. Oh, by the way, you just mentioned Messi, so everyone knows Ronaldo because it's always Messi versus Ronaldo. Mm-hmm. I saw Ronaldo tipped the hotel staff where he was staying on the Greek island $17,000 for keeping the paparazzi out of the hotel.
Hey, it must be nice.
Wow. Yeah, not 20, not 18, not 20. He's giving 17, whatever that is in euros. Probably what that's like 15,000 euros.
Yeah.
Either way, for keeping the media away, he had his kids with him and his super hot girlfriend.
Basically like a bodyguard, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Not a bad deal. Hey, man, Jason, we'll be listening. You and Michael have the call Wednesday live in Canada, and hopefully we'll see some things and keep on rolling. As Brian said, we've got momentum. We don't want to lose it.
Yeah, you want to take advantage of these first two games, especially against Toronto and Montreal. I've been struggling a bit. Need 6 points to start this busy month.
Right on, man. Thanks again, Jason. We'll talk to you later in the week. Again, it's Toronto up there. We get Montreal back to work at Mercedes-Benz. And then the big one coming up, Brian, I think everybody's excited about, our big rival of the Red Bulls of New Jersey. And that'll be on July 7th, a Sunday, up at Mercedes-Benz. Brian McFadden's here. We'll put his football skills to use. We've got an NFL blitz coming up. And if you miss Brian's vocal range, we may have to try that out some more. It's Dukes and Bell with BMAC today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.